This is Casey Currents. I'm Susan Wilson.
And I'm Sylvia Maria Gross. Probably the most volatile fault line in this country's shifting opinion on gay rights is in churches. Those who support gay rights and those who don't both claim that their beliefs are supported by their church's teachings. At the same time, many of the faithful are just trying to keep the issue from splintering church communities. In Parkville, these issues came up when the pastor of a Presbyterian church recently came out as gay, and he told his congregation he would be leaving to head an LGBT advocacy organization. Alex Smith has a story.
First of all, I have to make a disclosure. This story is about Brian Ellison, who's been a friend of mine and a co-worker at KCUR for several years. He formerly worked as producer for The Walt Bodine Show, and he often fills in as guest host on Up to Date. But in his real life, as he calls it, Brian is the pastor at Parkville Presbyterian Church. He's been there since 1999. Brian studied government at Harvard, but he says that while in college, he felt called to ministry. He started at the Princeton Theological Seminary in the mid-90s, just as his denomination was beginning to address the issue of gays and lesbians as pastors.
Around the time that I started seminary, the church adopted a constitutional provision that required persons who are to be ordained to be either living faithfully in marriage between a man and a woman or chastity in singleness was the language. In other words, practicing gays and lesbians could not be ordained. Now, that wasn't really a problem for me at the time because I wasn't self-aware enough to think that that applied to me.
How long was it before you realized that this position of the churches might be an issue for you that could interfere with what you were doing?
I have to admit, looking back, that by the time I was done with seminary, I realized this was a part of who I was, but I still was not willing to accept that it was going to be an issue in my ministry. So when I came to Kansas City in 1999, when I was ordained as a minister, I just assumed, I know it's crazy to say this now, it's crazy to hear myself saying it, but 13 years have gone by, I just assumed it would go away. And I know that's ridiculous to say, but I assumed something would change in me and this would never be an issue. Obviously, that wasn't the case.
So when you started at the church, did you talk to anybody about this?
No, because I was barely talking to myself about it. Mm-hmm. When I started, I was working 70, 75 hours a week at the church. I was very busy. I was new at everything. Everything was something I was learning as I went. Also, the church was growing. We were adding new members. We were undertaking long-range plans. It just wasn't something that was on my radar screen as something I needed to be thinking about. And so I didn't for a couple of years. But I got to the place where I realized I was longing for companionship. This was a part of my life that I wasn't paying attention to. And in time, I did, in fact, begin a relationship.
During the 13 years you've been at the church, I would assume that the topic of sexuality, I mean, just in general, has come up from time to time. How did you talk to people when that started to come up?
Yeah, it has come up over the years, often in the context of the Presbyterian Church nationally debating this policy that we've talked about, the ban on the ordination of gays and lesbians. So it became a very personal issue that I was, in fact, talking about in a very abstract way, in a very impersonal way. And I think I did a pretty fair job of presenting the pros and cons, the different views that are present in the church. To this day, the Presbyterian Church is not of one mind on this issue, and that includes the congregation in Parkville. There are very faithful, wonderful people who hold different views on this topic. And so I talked about it honestly, in terms of the diversity of views within the Christian church about homosexuality.
But your own personal story never came up in those kind of conversations.
You know, it really didn't. And the reason for that, Alex, is that I felt like knowing that there was this range of views and that this was a very emotional topic in the church, it wasn't part of the deal when I came in 1999. It was something that I wasn't dealing with myself. And for me to then sort of force the church to deal with that very divisive topic didn't seem fair. And I resolved at that point that if I ever did leave and move to another church, I would be open and honest about that up front, but that it wasn't really fair for me to impose it on the congregation I was serving in Parkville.
Did you have people in your church, congregants, who were openly, morally opposed to homosexuality?
Yeah, there are some members of the congregation who, who out of their faith and their biblical interpretation genuinely believe it is wrong. And they're not necessarily homophobic. They're not hateful. They just believe it's wrong and it's troubling for them. And I respect that. I love those people. I disagree with them about this. I think it is possible for a gay or lesbian person in a committed relationship to faithfully express who they are, including in a relationship with someone they love. But I guess when those people came to me with those concerns, I tried to honor, where they were coming from, even though it was sometimes personally difficult to do that. I'm thinking of a conversation I've had in the past week where a member of the church expressed to me their own sort of pain at learning that we had talked about this issue and I had not disclosed to them my own sexuality, my own sexual orientation. And I had to admit that that was incredibly painful for me as well. But given the conflict that I feared would occur in the church, were I to make that an issue, I just didn't feel like I could.
You've been in a committed relationship for several years now with someone who attends the church from time to time, and I can imagine this would be sort of a tricky social situation. How do you handle having him in the church?
Yeah, it's actually a funny story. We met before he even moved to Kansas City, my partner Troy, and so he didn't start at the church, but there was a time where the church actually got a new set of handbells, and we wanted to form a handbell choir. And I was the one conducting the handbell choir because we didn't have anyone else to do it. And we were short on people. I needed people in the handbell choir. And so one day Troy said, "I'll do it." And so Troy's entrance to the life of the church was being in the handbell choir that I was conducting. He's gotten to know people at the church over the years, and a handful of them knew of our relationship, but most of them didn't. That too has been an awkward thing at times. But I would say those who have known him have appreciated the ways he's been part of the church's life. And since sharing this with the congregation in the past couple of weeks, I will say that many people have sought Troy out to tell them how welcome he is there and how glad they are that he has been able to share in at least some small ways in the life of our community.
Now, since the time you've been with the Parkville Church, how has the Presbyterian Church's official position on gays and lesbians changed?
Well, the most significant change came about a year ago when the provision in our church constitution that prohibited gays and lesbians from serving openly, in fact, was removed. And so a majority of the presbyteries, that is the regional bodies around the country, voted to remove that requirement from the Book of Orders. So now presbyteries, as well as sessions, that's the church boards at the local church level, have the responsibility to examine every candidate for minister or elder or deacon and consider them case by case on whether the whole totality of who they are qualifies them for ministry and for leadership. And being gay does not prevent someone from being ordained anymore in the Presbyterian Church. No church is required to ordain gay people either, but no one will be prevented from serving just because they're gay if a presbytery or a session feels they're called.
I wonder, during your time as pastor, if you have taken any steps to try to change the church's position or, advocate for the rights of gays or lesbians as pastors in the church.
Although it hasn't been an issue that I have made a central focus of my ministry, there have been a couple of opportunities to speak out. Certainly when the issue has come up at our regional level, the presbytery, I have sometimes spoken in favor of of changing the church constitution. I would also say recently our Board of Pensions, that I'm a member of the Board of Directors of, did vote to extend domestic partner benefits to same-sex partners of plan members, including clergy or whomever. And I was glad to be able to be part of the majority that voted in favor of that change.
Jumping ahead to the present, I guess the last couple of weeks, you've recently decided to leave the Parkville Church. Why is that?
Well, I've accepted a new position, and I do that with great sadness in a way, because the Parkville congregation is a wonderful church full of incredibly gifted people whom I care very deeply about, a church that is committed to the community and the world. It has been a great place to serve as pastor. But I've accepted a new position as the executive director of the Covenant Network of Presbyterians. Covenant Network is an organization that has been working these past 15 years to change the church constitution to be more inclusive of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people, welcoming them into the ministry and more fully engaging their gifts in the life of the church, while at the same time preserving the unity of the church and helping the church get through this difficult debate in a way that leaves the church stronger and united on the other side. And I'm excited to be taking on leadership of that organization.
So I guess telling the congregation about this position would also make it pretty clear that you were gay. So how did you decide to break that news?
Well, although I wouldn't have necessarily had to tell them, I figured they would find out. And I wanted to honor the relationship I have with them enough to make sure that when they did hear it, they heard it from me. And so I wrote a letter. I did talk individually with some members of the church as well, but I wrote a letter that explained the sadness I had at leaving. It talked about my excitement about the new opportunity ahead, and then also shared with them that I had been in a committed relationship for the past 9 years, that I regretted having not been able to share that with them, but also that I tried to do it because I thought it was what was best for the church at the time.
How long did it take before you heard some reactions to the letter?
It was interesting. They got it on a Saturday morning, most of them, and almost instantly I started getting text messages and phone calls and emails. So it took only an hour or two after, I assume, it was first delivered to mailboxes. And of course, that continued all through Sunday morning when we had church. The response has been truly overwhelmingly positive and affirming. And just to be honest, I don't recall any more meaningful days of ministry than these past few days. The church has really been, for me, everything the church is supposed to be, a place of warmth and hospitality and true community, full of people who have really expressed love and care. You know, there's obviously a lot of sadness anytime a pastor tells a congregation that he or she is leaving, and I've heard a lot of that. But with regard to this new openness about my sexual orientation and about who I am, I've heard a lot of support and a lot of affirmation, and even from those who have struggled to accept that, I've heard real care for me, even in the process of them expressing their concerns. And so I'm grateful for the kind of church that Parkville is, and for the kind of grace that I've experienced there.
Mm-hmm. So did you hear from people who, you know, were really upset by the news?
Yeah, I've had some of those conversations. I think sadness more than anger. But yeah, there are some folks who, and there may be others that I have not heard from, too, who are more upset. I'm trying to be in conversation with those people, trying to be caring toward them and as accepting and understanding of their perspective as I would want them to be of mine.
Now, we've seen just in these past few years what seems to be a pretty major shift in the way that the majority of Americans think about gays and lesbians. And a phrase that has become pretty popular and heard in the media a lot is evolving. What do you think of the idea of evolving viewpoints?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt that the Presbyterian Church's view has evolved. And I don't think we should be surprised by that. You know, our theology, our Presbyterian theology, is that it goes back to the founding of our tradition back in Switzerland in the 16th century, around the time of the Protestant Reformation. And at that time, our tradition was called the Reformed Church. And we were called that because of a longer phrase that called us the Church Reformed and always reforming, always being reformed. And that has never changed. That part of our identity has never changed. We have always understood ourselves to be a church where God is alive and God is bringing new understanding even to ancient scriptures. And so there was a time when our church didn't ordain women to the ministry, but we came to understand, and I think it's God working on us, the Holy Spirit working on us to help us understand that God does call women to ministry. There was a time when Presbyterians would defend slavery using scripture. And over time, the church came to say, we no longer are going to apply scripture that way. We think the message of the gospel is something different than that. So yes, I think our views have evolved, but I would call that God working on us and bringing us to new understandings. And I think it is right for our views to continue to open up to how God is leading us on an issue as important as this.
Brian Allison's last sermon as pastor at Parkville Presbyterian Church will be July 15th. He'll begin his new job as executive director of the Covenant Network of Presbyterians on August 1st. The organization's currently located in San Francisco, but they'll be moving here to Kansas City. Brian Allison can also be heard occasionally as guest host on Up to Date. For Casey Currents, this is Alex Smith.
We know you might not be able to listen to our whole show today, but you can catch the rest of Casey Currents online. Subscribe to our podcast on the Casey Currents page of our website, kcor.org, or find us on iTunes.